Okay, thank you. We'll now move to a couple more speakers, and I'll just mention at this point that the Over the Hill Walking Club that we much love and belong to have prepared finger food, and there'll be drink, and I sort of plan to play some of the music Liz liked, like Mustang Sally and things like that. And if people could stay around for a bit of a, you know, Irish spirited wake afterwards, I'd appreciate that. But now, first we'll have from Monash University, Ellen Berra, who worked with Liz, closely with Liz.
I think, as we all know, Liz's life was incredibly rich and complex, as she was so enthusiastically interested and involved in so many different areas. And I think there are many groups represented here today and many people who have never seen each other before, but yet all of us had our special relationships with Liz. In the few minutes that I have today, I'm going to focus on her time at Monash University, as it was in that context that I met her and got to know her. I joined Monash in 1981 with the intention of establishing training in clinical psychology. However, the Department of Psychology did not support this, and it was only when Professor Kim Eng took over that things got moving on it. And in 1996, I was asked to develop a proposal for the introduction of training in clinical and forensic psychology, and along with this request came a condition. Kim had arranged for Liz Bigelow to be employed by the university to work on the project. I don't think I'd ever met Liz before this, and it was a bit of a shock to have no say in the choice of person with whom I had to work so closely for the next year. However, I would have to say the choice was an inspired one, though I suspect at the time that no one even realised how perfect Liz was for this role to which she'd been assigned. We were in complete agreement about a couple of things. Firstly, about the model of training that we wanted, and I guess that was important. But secondly, we both agreed that the best way to work with our committee was to hold meetings on Friday afternoons, sitting around a dining room table with lots of food and wine to ease the burden. While the cakes and the wine and the good company made the meetings very enjoyable, it was Liz's work behind the scenes that got us there. In particular, I remember her amazing ability to identify the key players in Monash's bureaucracy and to establish warm and cooperative relationships with them. Whereas others, myself included, would have lost patience with the red tape and bureaucratic obstructions, Liz was somehow able to cut her way through it all. Just a small example, committees always had deadlines by which documents had to be lodged, deadlines that we invariably seemed to be unable to meet. And somehow Liz was always able to get on the phone and arrange for us to get things in a few days late. She seemed to have an ability to work harmoniously with even those people whose reputations sent most of us cowering into corners. She never accepted no for an answer and was somehow able to do this in a way that everyone came out feeling good about it. As you all know, our proposal for the program was accepted and we took our first intake of students in 1998. And Liz then changed gears and put her mind to establishing clinical placements for our students. Again, this was a formidable task, as we were told that the market was saturated with students from other universities that had long track records in offering clinical training. But again, Liz's diplomacy and persistence won the day. She was able to persuade various agencies to give our 15 new students a go, and I have no doubt that in part Liz's success was due to the high esteem in which she was held as a practicing clinical and forensic psychologist. The fact that she was involved in teaching these students gave potential supervisors faith that the students would be okay. In all of this, Liz was always the last to take credit for her achievements. She just went about getting the job done, with no thought to gaining personal recognition or advancement. While some students were sometimes uneasy with her no-nonsense approach, they knew they could rely on her to tackle the difficult issues and get problems solved. Liz's other role at Monash University was as a PhD student. Her long-standing involvement in the assessment and treatment of sex offenders led her to select this difficult area for her doctoral studies. She went about her studies with the same sense of determination and optimism and humour with which she approached the rest of her work. Sadly, she died before the thesis was completed to her satisfaction, but we believe that it's so close to completion that it will be possible to have it assessed, and hopefully her degree will be awarded. When Liz got sick, she applied these same traits of persistence, optimism and humour to her treatment. In her work and her studies at Monash, Liz always won out. There was never any question but that Liz would succeed in what she set her mind to do. For myself, who relied on Liz to fix things, it seems unreal and very sad that we've lost such a loyal and dedicated colleague and friend.